This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. You're listening to Geek Speak. Support for KDNK and Geek Speak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. Louie will pick up and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
Good. I got to turn my microphone up because I'm all muffled.
All right, I'll bring you up a little bit.
That's all good. So,
yeah, these microphones are getting a little dirty being cleaned all the time.
Is that what it is? It's like the finish is coming off, right?
See, well, the grill's...
Nice.
Pretty covered.
Yeah.
Give myself a little... There we go.
All right. There we go.
If you have any tech questions, call in at 963-2976.
Yep, we are here to help you get through this pandemic. Yeah. But you know, I'm getting less and less panicked. You know, people that are having trouble using Zoom. Everybody's figured Zoom out at this point. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Everyone's got Skype and Zoom and all the other tools down at this point for the most part.
Yeah. So that's it's definitely a little bit different than last year. It hadn't really hit the fan yet. But
getting close. So. Getting close to a year.
Yeah, it is. It's like we were starting to bump elbows about this time last year after hearing about all of the what was coming. So yeah, so gosh, you know, I've been kind of pondering just exactly how, or actually I guess I should start out by checking in and like giving you my Bitcoin report. So you remember a couple of years ago I bought some Bitcoin?
Yes.
So this is my Bitcoin adventure. This is kind of funny. So I bought some Bitcoin, and immediately after that, Bitcoin started going down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to the point where it was a few months after I bought it, I checked my balance, and my $25 of Bitcoin had gone down to $7.
Okay? Ouch.
Yeah. And so I said, I need to move this to a different cryptocurrency. So I did a little bit of research, and I found that Ethereum Classic was having a pretty good track record. And so I went ahead and moved my $7.43 worth of Bitcoin over to Ethereum Classic and paid the $1.40 transfer charge. So I ended up with $6 worth of Ethereum Classic. Well, I didn't really check it again for probably 18 months. And just the other day, I kept getting these verify your identity emails from Coinbase, and you know, which for those listeners of ours who don't know about too much about cryptocurrency, Coinbase is, I think there are several different apps you can use to manage cryptocurrency wallets, right?
Isn't well, they're it? A cryptocurrency broker, I would.
Okay.
Basically, they also do wallet management, so the wallet lives on theirs, and they exchange your USD for Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever else they offer. I don't know what all they offer.
Got it. So anyway, I log in. You know, Coinbase kept bugging me. It's like, we need you to verify your identity or you're going to lose all your, you know, crypto money. And so I'm like, okay. You know, so I went on and I had to take a picture of my driver's license and upload it to them and all this stuff. And I had to wait 30 minutes and finally got through all that. And I get in there and I'm like, well, you know, what do you know? My Ethereum Classic has gone up to $14. So it almost tripled, you know, the amount of the Ethereum Classic that I had. So, and I had heard that Bitcoin has been having a really good run, that it like has gone up like huge, like, I mean, like what, $25,000 in the last 9 months or something?
So I think it peaked out at almost 40,000. It's currently at 36,447.
Okay, got it. So, I thought, well, you know, Ethereum Classic is kind of creeping along here, and you know, sure, if I stick with it, I'll make some money in time. But I want to get on the, I want to get back on the Bitcoin train, you know? So yeah. I went ahead and transferred my $14 of Ethereum Classic over to Bitcoin and paid the $1.40 charge. And then I decided, oh, I'm going to pump a little bit more. And so I transferred another $20 from my Alpine Bank account in there. And so there I was. I think I had $32 in change worth of Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin then promptly started going down. So I've pretty much figured out that all you really need to do to get Bitcoin to go down is for me to buy some.
And yeah, I don't know how to short Bitcoin, so unfortunately.
Yeah, so I mean, I was trying to think of ways that I could, you know, use this as a tool of extortion on people that I know and just say, hey, if you like your Bitcoin, you will, you know, do right to, like, bribe me to not buy any, because if I buy it, your Bitcoin's going to go down. So, anyway, so, yeah, so I'll give you my update here in just a minute.
All right. You're listening to Geek Speak on KD&K, 963-2976.
I'll tell you how much I've got now.
Well, since we're on the alt tech, well, I know blockchain and Bitcoin are definitely interesting tools.
Mm.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, I'm only down by about $2 and change now on Bitcoin, so it's up to $29.83.
There you go.
I guess it's having kind of a good day because it was only at $29.09 this morning. So it's anyway. And as you can all tell from these, like, massive numbers of, you know, these massive amounts of cash that I'm in, you know, investing in this, I'm hardcore. So,
you're on with the geeks.
Oh, hey, geeks! It's Donna. How are you?
Doing well.
We're good. How much Bitcoin do you own, Donna?
None.
Good.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Bitcoin is gambling. A little bit.
It is. And it's gambling without any of the positive side effects. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've gotten very little dopamine, you know, or whatever that, you know, the hormone is that you get when good things happen. You know? So.
Well, just hang on to it. Maybe it'll go back up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just an experiment for me. You know,
At least you don't have too much to lose.
Yeah. I don't know if you were listening today. I was talking about it like two or three shows ago. I had somebody approach me who, like, needed help because you know, they make these little Bitcoin, like, external Bitcoin wallet devices. Do you know about those?
No.
They look like flash drives, but they're encrypted. And you can, you know, to address the issue of people's Bitcoin getting hacked, like, when as long as it's, like, out in the public exchange, it could be hacked. And so you can transfer your Bitcoin off onto one of these little flash drive devices. And when this person said, I've got $37,000 on there, and if it's not done correctly, I could lose it all. And that's when I said, yeah, I think you're going to need to find somebody else.
Oh, right. So. I heard somebody accidentally threw it out and he was going to pay to dig it up.
Oh, yeah. $23 million, right?
It's
up in the hundreds of millions. Right?
So it's whatever the current market value of 7,500 Bitcoin is.
Okay.
So somewhere in the ballpark of $275 million.
Okay.
So he says anybody who finds it, they'll give you $75 million, and he's going to keep the $200 million.
Okay.
Wow. But did he throw it out, or what did he do?
Yeah, so he had his Bitcoin wallet on a hard drive in an old computer, and he was one of the early miners, it sounded like. So he had accrued 7,500 Bitcoins, which are now $36,000 a piece. And so he threw it out with hard drive, so his wallet is in the bottom of some dump somewhere.
A landfill, yeah.
And he's trying to find that so he can get his 7,500 Bitcoins back.
Wow. Mm.
See, that kind of stuff, it's too risky. It's too stressful for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, if nothing else, I mean, didn't he get the memo that you're not supposed to throw your tech into the landfill? I mean, give me a break.
Well, at least there's a chance that it hasn't been recycled.
Well, I was going to say, actually, I mean, if he had taken it to like the people who shred your hard drive, then he'd be really he'd really be crapping right now, right?
That's
because he has to figure out his.
Hey, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
So, I have these speakers in my ceiling, and 8 of them in various rooms, and then on the wall are volume controls. And I opened up the volume control slider, and behind it is this, I looked it up, it's a Sonance volume control. So I guess the speakers are Sonance. Anyway, so I finally found behind
Is it Sonos or Sonance?
No, Sonance, like S-O-N-A-N-C-E or something like that.
Okay, I've got it. I've Googled it.
Yeah. So there's behind the, I found a blank outlet cover, and I took it off, and I see that there's each of the, by the way, each of these sliders have two, you know, a left and a right, right? It looks like they control two speakers, and each room has two speakers, so that makes sense. But when I opened up the outlet, what's in the outlet are four pairs of wires, but the wires bundle, there's two times four, and one of the, and the pair I thought would be the four wires for each speaker on that slider. It's like, you know, white, black, red, and green or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's only one white speaker cable with the four wires in there, and then the other one is an Ethernet cable. But there's no Ethernet connection going that I can see going to that slider. Like, does that make sense?
Huh.
Is the Ethernet cable's not connected to anything, correct? It's just loose in there?
I don't... Yeah, it's just... Well, they're actually... What it is they are tied together with, like, white electrical tape. So it looks like they're each paired, and then it says, you know, it has written on the one of the cables which room it goes to.
Hmm. Wow.
So is there a there's a white cable that is like would that be like a would it be like an 18
it's an
18,
audio cable
it's like
for
18, sure. 18, it's 18, 18 gauge by 4 like 18/4 or something like that or 16/4
Yeah, 16 gauge. There's 16 gauge with four wires. But like I said, there's two that go into the jack, into the slider volume control, but only one that comes out of the wall with an Ethernet cable.
Hmm. Got it.
And one of the cables says, like, Master VL, and then the other one says Master TV, like, as, the Ethernet looks like it goes to maybe to the TV or something, but it's weird. I can't figure out where that Ethernet cable goes.
Hmm. Well, sounds like you need a toner.
Did you? So, do you think they would have tied? They wouldn't have tied the left and right speakers together, would they?
Well, you have to look at how your amplifier is set up. So, they may have. So, they may do either a series or parallel connection, depending on what type of speakers they are. So,
no, this is just going to the volume control.
Okay, does the volume control? So, I guess the question is: do the speakers come down to the volume control where it's a resistive control, or is it a? Does the control go back to the head end where it is, you know, controlling the volume on the amplifier itself?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
So
I don't know how it's connected. Maybe I don't know how they're all. I don't know how it's wired.
Because that's the question. Because there's resistive controls, and I would assume that there's some sort of digital control where it can tells the amplifier what to do. And that's going to be determine how that is. So they may just do. So they may have like a four channel. Or a four-zone amplifier, and that amplifier is running, you know, mono to each one of the rooms, essentially. And you don't have a true stereo image because they're in the ceiling.
Okay.
So, hey, Donna, would you, when you get a chance, would you shoot a picture of that whole, you know, the whole wiring cluster, and send it to me just for my curiosity? So I was doing a little bit of Googling. Sonance has a really wide variety of different products. And so, at the most basic level, a lot of people don't know this, but you can actually use, as long as you're not like pumping high wattage through it, you can actually use Cat 5 for speaker wire. It's kind of troglodyte, but it's, you know, yeah, you can do it.
You know, I don't know if what's coming out of that outlet goes to the speakers themselves or if it goes to the volume control. That's where. But I'll send you a picture, and I should be figuring it out here in the next few weeks. I got the person who built the townhouse, you know, that wiring company. I found out who the wiring company is, and it's only 3 years old, so I'm hoping they'll know how it's wired.
Nice. So I think we were talking via text. Do you like use any alternate messaging apps these days?
I just use, it seems like I use Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and then Apple Messenger. That's what I use on my phone.
Got it. Okay. Because Matt, we were talking about Signal. Are you familiar with Signal?
No, I am not.
It is. You said it's a 501c3 that owns it.
Yeah. So
is that right?
Yeah. So where Facebook Messenger is owned by obviously Facebook, WhatsApp is owned by Facebook, and iMessage is owned by Apple. Signal is owned by a 501c3, so they're a nonprofit, and they've actually I've been getting some errors because so many people have been switching to them because of the change in privacy policies on WhatsApp currently. So I've been getting a lot of notifications of my contacts have been downloading it and installing it because it's based on your cell phone number. So a lot of people have downloaded it and are testing it out. My wife and I use it for her to be able to see our girl Haley during the day. So we use the video portion of it quite a bit, and we do text messages with it, or messages through when we go to the store and things of that nature with it all the time. It works really well. And then some other people that I don't contact very often, we use it because it's end-to-end encrypted. So the only places the messages exist are on my devices and on their devices. So it's securely linked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm going to have to look that one up. I used to use a webcam that I used to watch my mom, because she had dementia. So I set up a webcam, and, you know, you could talk through it and everything.
Nice.
So this is, though, messaging, like text messaging, but there's a camera, it's video as well, or what?
Yeah, it's video. You can do, like, VoIP, you can do video, you can do send messages. So it does those three things. I think it's very similar to WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger.
And how do you like the video quality? Is it pretty good?
You know, I would have to say it's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we sometimes use the built-in video messaging with the Verizon phones, and it's definitely better than that. I'd say it's on par with the iMessage and FaceTime that we've done in the past.
Got it. Because it's, we've been using Google Hangouts a lot, and it gets pretty blocky. There's a lot of people using it, you know, is the best I can guess, you know. Because I'm on like 175 meg Comcast circuit at my house, and so it can't be that, you know. We're just curious, you know, because there's a lot of talk about alternate ways to communicate, kind of on the in the wake of the January 6th thing, and
ever since
my Parler account got shut down. I'm just kidding.
Oh, right. I haven't used that, but
I'm just kidding.
One nice thing about WhatsApp is when you send like a video, like I'll take a video of, like, I just painted my bedroom and I sent a video of my room to a friend of mine, and I use WhatsApp, and it, you know, compresses the video when you send it. Rather than like sending it over email or a text or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Huh.
So.
Well, we'll report back
Signal,
on this.
Huh? I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on now. It's easy to get on. I just did it.
Nice.
So, anyway.
Well, very good. Well, listen, guys, I'll let you go, and I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Yeah. Take care, Donna. Donna.
Well, we'll see if I get a notification on it. See you, Donna.
Yeah. Bye.
Because usually I get a notification when a new person logs on the signal.
Yeah.
Have a few more minutes left. 963-2976.
Let's see here. I'm sending you. I'm messaging you.
All right.
Yeah, let's see if that works.
There it goes. Yep, I see it here.
Wow. That is some easy stuff.
And I get an option to block, delete, or accept.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll accept.
Okay.
And
I won't send you all that spam.
Nice.
So.
All right, we'll have to test that out and see how it compares.
Yep.
Oh, we got a call.
Yep.
You're on with the geeks. Oh, what's here? You're on with geeks.
Hi, thank you. This is Patty. I'm calling because I'm trying to, and I've heard one of your talks before, but not for a long time, on VPN. And I've been reading for the past days and hours about all the caveats of the different recommended services. I feel like I need one to use on my iPhone. We have 4 devices plus Comcast. And trying to make a decision on what to use. They say don't use one in the United States because of the privacy laws. They talk about one that's located in Switzerland. And there's so much out there. What can you tell us? What can you tell me?
That is a great question. And Matt McBrayer is Googling furiously because he's kind of our in-house VPN specialist. While he's Googling, I'm going to ask you, and without going into too much detail, what's the general compelling need for having a VPN? Is it just a concern about, just general eavesdropping, or are you going to be doing financial transactions, or, what's the nature of the business?
Just being on the web safely from my home, going through Comcast, and trying, I'm the only thing I'm using now are all the Windows protocols. I have nothing else installed, no anti-malware aside from what comes in, no other anything aside from what comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to my computer, guys, if we have to have our computers cleaned in any way, because they got buggy or got some malware on it, then, he says always the same question. With a VPN, who owns it?
And that is always the question because we have, it depends on what you want to use the VPN for because they don't necessarily anonymize you. It just, so mainly when I use a VPN is like when I'm traveling, so if I'm connecting to a network I don't trust. So, like, if I'm in a hotel or I'm at the airport, I use a VPN. And the one I've chosen is called Proton VPN. And I have another one. So a tool I use is called privacytools.io. And they have all kinds of stuff. Looks like they've updated their website since the last time I've looked at it. But they go through and they talk about different VPN services and the good, the bad, and the ugly about them.
Okay, privacytools.io.
Yep. And just go through that list, and I think that you should be able to find one that suits your needs well. So you have to decide what you're trying to defend against and what you're trying to do with it.
I'm just trying to use my iPhone safely, whereby I generally, unless I'm in my home, I'm using unlimited Verizon cell phone service.
Okay,
to
we're gonna have to get going.
Okay.
Okay.
But give us a call next in a couple weeks if you have more questions.
Yeah, give us first Monday of February. We'll be back.
Yep, the first.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome.
All
be safe. We'll be back on the 1st of February.
Don't touch your knob.